case Sullivan versus Bornman. Mr. Huff.
May it please the court. Your honors, under the specific facts of this case, because of the officer's actions being what I would characterize as plainly unreasonable, I would submit to you that they are not entitled to the protection of the qualified immunity doctrine.
So let me just start by saying this is, at this stage of the game, a lawsuit against the two police officers. It's not about whether the doctor rightly decided that Mr. Sullivan was catheterized. It's not about whether the doctor rightly decided whether he was incompetent at that moment, given his intoxication levels, et cetera, to give consent. And in that setting, I have a hard time thinking of a rule of law that requires police officers to second guess the medical judgment of an emergency room physician, both on the question of competence to give consent, maybe one of the biggest parts here, and secondly, whether or not it might have been better practice for them to have summoned some hospital orderlies to hold down Mr. Sullivan. They were asked by the medical personnel to assist, and they did so in a very targeted way. I just don't see where the rule is. It says they're better than the doctors.
Well, I'd like to respond to several issues that are raised. Number one, based upon the facts as stipulated before the court, the doctor never documented any concerns about the competence of Mr. Sullivan.
But don't we know that the doctor ordered the catheterization? We know that.
Yes.
And we know, let's say by omission, the doctor never said, I'm not going to take any steps. It's implicit that the doctor's going ahead without Mr. Sullivan's particularized consent. Now, normally doctors don't do that. You know, if you or I were to walk into the emergency room right now, they wouldn't do a thing until we signed 80,000 pieces of paper. But if we had a .25 breathalyzer and so on, emergency room doctors all the time have to just act first and stabilize people.
I understand that emergency room doctors are often required to make decisions which without regard to the patient's wishes, but respectfully, those are under the circumstances where the individual, as you indicated, is not competent to make a decision. Now,
but intoxication can lead to that. People show up in emergency rooms all the time under drug influence, under alcohol influence, possibly under both. And indeed, this court has seen lots of lawsuits against police officers for failing to take people to medical facilities. It seems like a very difficult position to put these officers in.
The situation, Your Honor, is that when Mr. Sullivan was at the emergency room, the doctor and the nurse were able to form the opinion that Mr. Sullivan was competent enough to play games and tease them. And it's my opinion, respectfully, Your Honor, that an individual who's competent enough to tease officers and tease medical staff is not someone who lacks the competence.
But that's the fact about whether the doctor's judgment is correct. These officers are following the instructions of the doctor and the request of the nurse. And I really think it's quite important, actually, that we are not looking at a case about whether the doctor, obviously there are all sorts of other issues about state action and so on, so just as well it's not here. But in any event, I just want to focus on who is here and what rule those people are subject to.
An important point also, Your Honor, is No one asked the officers to physically restrain Mr. Sullivan. They did so on their own.
What do you mean by that? When the nurse says he needs to be still to minimize risk of injury or infection.
That's correct, Your Honor, but the nurse never told the officers, I need you to hold him still by using wrestling moves and squeezing the bridge of his nose. That was something that the officers decided independently. The nurse may have thought that the officers would do so.
Well, wait a minute. I want to... the stipulation, mm-hmm. It says, as I recall, that Nurse Achtenberg explained to the two officers that his ability for movement had to be restricted in order to minimize the risk of injury and to minimize the risk of infection during the procedure. That's almost a direct quote. They reasonably understood that to be a request to help. Now, true, she didn't dictate exactly the methodology they were to use, but she seems to have dictated how long they were going to restrain him because, again, under the stipulation, this only happened for about 60 seconds.
That's correct, Your Honor. The problem that I have is that an officer should not be in the situation where he is told what to do by medical staff over the objections of the individual who the medical staff are supposed to be attempting to assist. This individual, Mr. Sullivan, as I've cited at length, had the due process right to refuse any unwanted medical care, provided that he is a competent individual. Now, why...
I don't understand that. You mean this screening of a person before he's sent off to jail is illegal? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not illegal, Your Honor, and I would not suggest that.
Then how does he have the right to refuse?
He has the right to say, I don't want your care.
Not care. This is a test.
And he has the right to say that he does not want...
No, I don't think he does, because you just said it's legal to screen these people before they're taken off to jail to protect the jail from liability. So if it's illegal, then he doesn't have the right to refuse.
I would respectfully submit to the court that if the jail wants to protect its interest by doing a medical clearance, that's certainly justifiable. Then bring
But how do they do the medical clearance without doing a urinalysis and taking a blood sample and doing the ordinary things that doctors do? I mean, they
doing
can't
the
really
ordinary things
do.
That doctors do is... I'm sorry, did I...
Well, I was going to say, you can't... I mean, a urine sample is just necessary for some of the tests that are done in order to satisfy... The jail's needs.
A urine test or a blood test?
Well, they aren't alternatives, since to some degree they are different tests, right?
There are different tests, but I would submit that this is not what one would ordinarily anticipate when this individual was at a bar acting disorderly and gets arrested and brought to jail for being disorderly. The jail says, we don't want to take you in because you've got a high blood alcohol level according to the preliminary breath testing device, which, as we know, is not necessarily scientifically reliable.
Well, it may or may not be, but you didn't say it was illegal for them to demand a urine specimen.
The hospital is perfectly justified in requesting a urine sample.
No, that doesn't do it. If the jail is entitled to screen these people, to have them medically screened, and that includes a urine analysis, then he has no right to refuse.
Respectfully, Your Honor, I believe the case of Cruzan says that is one of the most...
Oh, no. He's not refusing treatment. This is not treatment. This is a test.
But I would...
Cruzan had absolutely nothing to do with it. It doesn't say anything about letting... Jails can force people to undergo tests.
The procedure in this particular case is not a simple urine sample. What we're talking
he
about...
He refused to give this simple urine sample.
I would submit that that's not what the facts have shown. Mr. Sullivan was asked in front of officers and hospital staff to provide a urine sample, and he couldn't. He attempted to on several occasions, and I believe that the nurse, recognizing that Mr. Sullivan was trying to provide a sample, decided to turn on the faucet to assist him, to help him get the urine out. And when Mr. Sullivan was unable or unwilling We don't know.
Well, wait. Unable or unwilling, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
But the situation is
clearly
unwilling,
uncooperative, and combative. That's your own characterization.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing.
I was going to say, the stipulation doesn't make a choice. It just keeps saying either couldn't or wouldn't, either refused to or, you know, was unable to. So we know nothing from the stipulation about the reason why he couldn't do it, but we do know that the jail had a medical, it doesn't appear to be written anywhere, actually, but they seem to have had a medical screening policy, and you haven't argued that jails can't have such policies.
I believe a jail should have such policies. It makes perfect sense to have such a policy. It serves a legitimate purpose. However, there's got to be a point where the line is drawn. And we're talking about holding...
Well, it can't be drawn by your client. What was the outcome of the test?
There was the presence of marijuana and alcohol.
Wasn't that what the doctor was concerned about in directing that this procedure go forward?
I cannot tell you that the doctor was legitimately concerned about detecting the presence of drugs in Mr. Sullivan's urine.
Because they found a marijuana pipe in his, I mean, it's not like it was complete fantasy on the part of the police.
Well, didn't,
that
the doctor
might have been a problem.
Didn't the doctor testify that he was concerned about the presence of drugs, Mr. Huff?
That's correct, Your Honor. However, that was his testimony, but his medical records indicated no concern whatsoever over the presence of drugs, no concern whatsoever about his competence, no concern about his vitals, none whatsoever. Yet he ordered the extreme event of a catheterization. I would submit that the issue here is not about what the doctor decided as much as it is about what the police officers did.
Well, there was a time gap. Didn't the nurse give about 30 minutes? I mean, they did wait, didn't they? I mean, it wasn't a rush to the catheterization. There was a period where they attempted to have him comply.
And it was within this time period that the doctor and the nurse drew the conclusion that Mr. Sullivan was playing games with them. I don't think the fact that...
How much had he drunk at the bar?
I don't have... That's not within the... it's not in the record, Your Honor.
Okay. Go ahead. Well, I'm going to have you wrap it up, but you can make a concluding remark, Mr. Huff.
I would respectfully submit to the court that there's no evidence in the record that Mr. Sullivan was incompetent and unable to make a decision on his own as to whether or not he should agree to submit to this testing. There's no authority that I know of that would allow the officers to force Mr. Sullivan into this situation. And I think it was unreasonable under the circumstances.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Heidenreich?
Thank you, Your Honors. Mr. Hogg? Your Honors, Mr. Hogg just stated that the issue is not what the doctors decided, and the issue is not what the medical facility may have decided. I cannot concur more with that statement. This issue that is before this court today is whether or not the officers had a qualified immunity to assist the physician, a physician who, as far as the record would know, and as far it would indicate, and as far as the officers on the scene would know, is a competent, qualified physician to make medical determinations. This competent, qualified medical physician made the determination whether or not it's right or wrong is not here. It's not before this court. Those parties are not party. Those individuals are not parties. The officers had the right to rely upon the physician who made a determination that I need a urine sample in order to make a determination whether a medical clearance is appropriate and or to make a medical determination whether or not there is any other life-saving or life-threatening problem going on.
Can I ask you, if we're thinking about qualified immunity, we know under the Supreme Court's decision in Saucier against Katz that the first inquiry we're actually obligated to make is whether the facts, as stated in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, describe a constitutional violation. And we also know that this is one of many areas in which the Supreme Court has established lines, implicit lines, maybe at a factual level. You know, you can't pump somebody's stomach and you can take a blood sample and so on and so forth. In that initial sense, where does catheterization fit in, if I could ask that question? Is there a right just to get a urine sample, just the same as there's a right to get a blood sample, even if you have to use a catheter?
In the fact setting of this case, Your Honor, I would strongly state that there was a right to have a catheterization. If, in fact, the officers were seeking evidence, whether it be for alcohol consumption or whether it was because it's not an auto case, and we're not concerned with that, or whether it was seeking evidence for other illegal drugs in the system, well, then they would have needed a warrant. Then it's a Fourth Amendment issue. The cases that I have analyzed and that the appellant has suggested in his brief regarding the issue that the court just raised concerning getting a warrant to do the stomach pump, those are all cases that involve officers seeking evidence to be used in a later criminal proceeding. The stipulation and the facts in this case are very clear. The officers here told Mr. Sullivan, we are not going to be attempting to obtain evidence. We are not seeking evidence, and in fact, after
yes,
the...
Yes, but you don't want to leave the impression, surely, that as long as they're not seeking evidence, they don't require anything, right? So the jail would say, well, we want the stomach pumped if everybody comes in here. We want them to start over, you know, with a clean stomach. Just as healthful jail food, you know, without contamination.
If that was the case, that would clearly be an impermissible policy.
So implicitly, you're defending the reasonableness of the urine specimen requirement as a condition of, as part of this entry screening into a jail.
In part, yes. And it goes a step further, Your Honor, because the facts of this case, as shown by the stipulation, is that the physician on duty had a concern not only to make the determination for medical clearance, but he also had a concern because of the known alcohol consumption, the presumed marijuana presumption based upon the fact
yes,
that...
Yes, but now you're bringing, you know, at least within a million miles of Cruzan, right? Because what if he says, look, you can arrest me, you can do all your screening, you can do what you want, but if I have ingested a lethal dose of marijuana and alcohol, that I don't wish to have any kind of treatment for that.
That would be the physician's determination, the physician's subjective, objective determination. I'm concerned here...
I don't understand you. Suppose the physician says, no, I don't agree with that Cruzan decision. I think people should be forced to live.
I missed the first part. Was that the physician saying that or the officer?
Yeah, the physician.
I think that physician would be subjecting himself to some potential severe liability.
No, he wouldn't. He says no. Well, the physician would, yes.
Yeah,
what if the police officer, what if he says to the police officers, don't pay any attention to Cruzan, you hold this fellow down because I want to save him against his will.
And the officers, under the issue here for qualified immunity, they are held to a standard to understand the rulings of the court. And if they have...
So they understand Cruzan. They're charged with knowledge of Cruzan. So they realize the physician is asking them to do something against Sullivan that violates his constitutional right declared in Cruzan.
Well, first of all, I would disagree that Cruzan has any applicability to these facts, but assuming for the court's hypothetical that it does, if the officers have an understanding that what they are being asked to do is in violation of the law, and then under that hypothetical, I do not believe that they would be in the position to
assist. Cruzan has at least minute applicability to the law, because you say in your brief, I think, that one of the reasons for the physician wanting to administer this test was because he was concerned about Sullivan's health.
That is part of the stipulation.
I mean, it's a fine distinction. The jail's legitimate concern is knowing the person's medical condition so they don't get stuck, you know, with liability. They're not blamed for having, you know, caused an injury to him. But if it's perfectly clear that the only issue is whether he wants to be tested for the sake of his own health rather than any jail interest, then Cruzan comes into play.
Potentially, but again, if the officers know or have reason to believe that what they are being requested to do is in violation of certainly a U.S. Supreme Court decision, again, under your hypothetical, I would say they would not be in the position, and they should not have assisted in the manner that they did. But that's not the facts in this case.
Don't you think this would have been much better, though, if the hospital had not involved the officers in the actual physical restraining? If the officers had brought Mr. Sullivan there, turned him over to the medical personnel, doctors, nurses, med techs, whoever else was around, and they completed all of this, and then they gave Mr. Sullivan back to the officers, and off he went back to the jail, surely we wouldn't be here. I mean,
well, if that, under those factors the court just stated, yes, we would not be here because then...
Because it would be the hospital personnel who held him down to protect him from himself, as it were, during this catheterization procedure. And maybe he would have sued them under some state law theory of battery or malpractice or what have you. That's obviously a possibility. But you wouldn't be here defending the police officers unless there's a theory that they can't even take people to the hospital to begin with.
Well, that's clearly
not
the law.
I don't understand that to be anything the plaintiff is arguing.
In the utopia world, if there were other individuals available, other qualified individuals to assist,
don't all hospitals have muscular orderlies? Because you know they get people who are lunatic, or you know they're having fits or something and have to be tied down. Isn't that standard?
I do have a response, Your Honor, but it's not. Is it standard? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I do have a response under the facts of this case, but I can also tell you it's not part of the record.
How big is the Shawano Medical Center or the community itself?
I've never been in the facility itself. The community probably is 3,000 to 5,000. 3,000 to 5,000 people, total population of the city, the immediate city and the surrounding. As to the facility...
So this is a small town, huh?
Very small town, yes, Your Honor.
What county is it?
Toronto County. In conclusion, as I anticipated, you threw me off my prepared speech here.
Well, that's good. We do not favor prepared speech.
In conclusion, Your Honor, I urge you to accept the affirm the district court's decision, who made the determination that the officers are entitled to qualified immunity. Well, a question was raised, and I'm not sure if I completely answered it before, regarding the standard. Before you get to qualified immunity, there goes
right.
My light, you have to make the determination whether or not there is a constitutional deprivation in and of itself. That, in this particular case, by the district court, has not been answered. The district court, in its decision, said that could not make a determination as a matter of law whether or not there was a constitutional deprivation because
right. But I suppose my question is whether that's actually the wrong order, though. The district court had to answer that question before he could get on to whether the violation of any such right was.
And I did not brief this issue, Your Honors. However, I would take the position that there is no constitutional deprivation at all, and I would rely upon the same cases that I've already cited in my brief in support of that proposition. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hopkins, time has expired. You have a minute if you wish to have anything to add.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to point out, and I think it's very important, the extreme nature of the events that took place. It's not routine. It should not be anticipated. If I get arrested on my way out of this building, I hope to God I'm able to piss in a cup. Because I don't want to be catheterized.
Well, if you've been drinking heavily, you probably won't have any problem.
I have not been drinking heavily. Or at all.
And you probably won't be arrested.
The officer's power is not derived from the medical staff. The doctor and the nurse do not dictate how much authority the police have to use force on an arrested individual. That's, their guidance has to come from elsewhere. It must come from the Constitution. It must come from a warrant. It must come from their supervisors, from somewhere. But when a nurse says, it might be better if this person is held still, it does not give the officers the power to engage in wrestling moves, squeeze the suspect's skull or face, however he was squeezed, and hold the person down. He does not have that power. And there's nothing in the record that says that during, immediately prior to the catheterization, that Mr. Sullivan was engaging in any physical conduct which might justify the officer's actions. So in that sense, we must analyze whether the officer's conduct was objectively reasonable under the circumstances. And I would submit to you that it was not.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess. Thank you.